If you have a Bible, could you open, please, to Psalm 115? If you've never read the Bible before, Psalms is in the middle, pretty much, of the Bible. I remember at school one day, something came up about Psalms and someone couldn't say it. There's a silent T at the start. Psalm 115. Psalms are, there's 150 of them in the Bible. They are basically songs. They are songs concerning God, songs of praise, songs of thanksgiving, songs to God seeking help, songs of encouragement. The psalm I'd like to read tonight and use as our sort of base for the talk is Psalm 115, and we'll start just by reading through the whole psalm. Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory, because of thy loving kindness, because of thy truth. Why should the nations say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens, he does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Verse 11 is a key verse to the psalm. I believe you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. And therein lies a key that shows its relevance to us today. You who fear or who revere the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord. From this time forth and forever, praise the Lord. I'd like to ask you a question this evening to start off, and I'd like you to keep it in the back of your mind as we progress through this little talk. The question is, what will you be trusting in when you stand before God? What will you be trusting in when you stand before God? Now, I know today there are many people in the world that deny the existence of God. There are many people who do not believe in God. And it's a question that has been asked by many today, and it's a question that has been asked by many over the years. Is there a God? And actually, the writer of this psalm in verse 2, he asks the same question. Why should the nations say, where now is their God? Verse 3 gives us the answer. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. And that's the answer I'd like to give you tonight. If you deny the existence of God, I'd like to tell you that God is real. God is alive. God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, are in heaven. And God is all-powerful. I'd also like to put the question back to you. Our God is alive. As a Christian, I can say confidently that God is alive. And I'd like to ask you the question, where is your God? Many people today deny there is a God, and yet they have gods in their own lives. And they would make gods of many and different things. And in verse 4 here, the writer of the psalm says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. He's speaking about people. And it's true as it was written then, as it is today. So many people make gods or make idols of silver and gold, of money, of possessions, of power. They make idols or make gods of the work of man's hands. They make gods of sport. They make gods of big houses, of their fancy cars. I'd like to ask you the question, where is your God? Where are you putting your trust in? Who are you putting your trust in? Over the next few minutes, I'd just like to draw a comparison between verses 5, 6 and 7 and the one true God. And I hope, as I have found, that you will find that the one true God is a great, powerful God, and he's greater than any idol or any god this world has to offer. So what I'd like to do is just go through each of these points that the writer has talked about the idols and compare them to God. Now, as I'm doing it, those of you that know your Bibles can think of different verses that we could pick out. I've got one verse for each, but I'm sure there's something you can do to, as we go along, to find verses that tell us about God from these, as a comparison from verse 5, 6 and 7. So the first pointer is, they have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. In John chapter 6 and verse 68, I'm going to read a few verses. If you like, you can stay in Psalm 115. In John chapter 6 and verse 68, one of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, in answering his question, the Lord's question, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And one of the great things about God is he has the words of eternal life. When the Lord Jesus Christ taught and walked on this earth, he taught many and great things. Perhaps the greatest thing he taught was the way to salvation, was the way to eternal life. The Bible clearly teaches that there is a heaven prepared for those that have accepted God's gift of salvation and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible clearly teaches that there is a hell prepared for those who reject him. The decision you have to make tonight is, what will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? He has the words of eternal life. The next point in that psalm was, they have eyes, but they cannot see. And I'd like to read a verse in Mark chapter 6. It's a verse that actually Stephen spoke to us last Sunday about. Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. The Lord Jesus Christ saw the great multitude of people following him, and he felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ, many people were following him, and when the Lord Jesus Christ saw them, he had compassion on them. And as we'd read, if we were to read the following verses there, we would see how the Lord Jesus supplied their need. And the good news I'd like to tell you about tonight is, the Lord Jesus Christ has supplied our need. CK has already told us that before God we are sinners, we have done wrong. And on our own, we are helpless. And the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like to tell you tonight, has supplied our need. He has taken our place, he has taken our punishment that we deserve. And if we accept him and trust him as our Saviour and seek his forgiveness, he can supply our need. They have eyes that they cannot see. The Lord Jesus has seen us in our need, and if we're willing to trust him, he will supply our need. The third point, they have ears, but they cannot hear. I'd like to read some verses in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and a couple of verses, verses 11 to 13. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him, speaking of the Lord, will not be disappointed. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And the Lord has promised that if we call upon him in seeking his forgiveness, he will hear us, he will hear our call, and he will save us. That's the wonderful promise of God. And he will hear us when we call upon him. The next one is, and this is probably the toughest verse to find, they have noses, but they cannot smell. I wonder, can you think of a reference to God smelling? The reference I chose is John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 39. The story here is, a friend of the Lord Jesus, a man named Lazarus, had died. And the Lord Jesus had come to the family, his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 39 said, "Remove the stone that he'd been buried behind." And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time he stinks, for he's been dead for 4 days. But Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that thou didst send me." And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." What a marvellous miracle. The Lord Jesus Christ brings back to Lazarus brings back life to Lazarus after he'd been dead for 4 days. The Lord Jesus ignored the smell of death and he brought life. And friend, we are sinners before God and we deserve death and we are doomed to die. But the Lord Jesus Christ can bring us life. He can bring us everlasting life. Again, if we believe in him, if we trust in him, he has the power to give us life. Okay, moving on, they have hands, but they cannot feel. A verse in John chapter 10, verse 29 is a very encouraging verse. There is security in the hand of God. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "My Father who has given them to me, those who trust him, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Friend, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour tonight, there is none that can separate you from the love of God. And I find that an incredibly comforting thing. Not so that I can go and do my own thing because I know that my salvation is secure. If I'm sincere, I'll live to please the Lord. But it's just a wonderful thing to know that if I sin, and I know that I will in a future day, nothing can separate me from the love of God. And my salvation is secure and it is eternal. There is security in the hand of God. Second last point, they have feet, but they cannot walk. I'd like to read some verses in John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 24. And this is after the Lord Jesus Christ has died. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And he appeared to some of his disciples, but Thomas, verse 24, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it in my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Now, I know there's no direct reference to feet here, but we know from history that when one was crucified, the nails were driven through their hands and through their feet. And friend, here we see the wonderful sacrifice and the amazing sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified, the cruelest of deaths. He was crucified, his hands were pierced and so were his feet. He was crucified so that our debt could be paid. God's justice was met. And if we trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved because the Lord Jesus has paid that debt that we owed. And the final point here is they cannot make a sound with their throat. And I'd like to read a verse in Mark chapter 15 that tells us just of the depths of suffering and the depths that the Lord Jesus had to go to purchase our salvation. Mark chapter 15 and just two verses there. Verse 33 and 34. And when the sixth hour had come, and at this time we're reading here, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is on the cross. Darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is translated, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And here we see that God poured out all his wrath on his Son so that salvation can be available to us. Such was the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ to so that we could be saved. Friend, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your possessions, in your money? Are you trusting in who you are? There are people I know who are trusting in their quick mouth and their quick mind. What are you trusting in? And what will you trust in when you stand before God? He's real. And you will stand before him. The Bible clearly teaches that. I pray and hope that you will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that these simple thoughts will show you the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatness of God, in comparison with anything that this world has to offer. I just want to close with one final saying of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. There is no other way that we can have forgiveness of sins. There is no other way to heaven except trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider for yourself where you stand before God, and remember that the Lord Jesus Christ alone is worth trusting in.